And we missed you. We're very happy to be back here on this Thursday, September 28, 2017. This is The Lowdown. I am Damian Barling, along with Jason H.W. Ross. We thank you so much for being here with us. We are packed today. We got a lot we got to get to. Week four of the NFL season.
Yes, starts tonight.
Kicks off tonight, which means you got to get your fantasy roster set, which means Nate Lundy of the nationally syndicated Fantasy Football Hour will be with us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Also, many of you know, as we talk about it each week with him, Nate Lundy covers the Denver Broncos there in Denver. And Raider fans, you may have a specific interest in this game with the Denver Broncos coming up this week. So we will talk to him about that as well. Dave Douglas, he's a producer for John Madden, A Football Life. Premieres tomorrow on the NFL Network. He'll be with us at 1:30. I got a chance to watch that yesterday. I have a lot of questions about Madden because I know Madden is a very comes across as this kind of fun loving turducken, all the boom, yeah, bang, all doink, all that stuff. It felt like to me, and I could be totally wrong, and we'll talk to him about this, that he holds a little bit of, I don't want to say bitterness. Like, you could tell when the Hall of Fame subject came up, it was a bit sore to him. Mm-hmm. Like, it took him like 20 years to get into the Hall of Fame. And I'm curious how he feels about the video game. Because he's really, perhaps, and I think it's only going to get worse as we get further and further away from his broadcasting career and his coaching career, he's going to be known for one thing, and it's that. Mm-hmm. It's that video game. So we will talk to Dave Douglas at 1:30. A former Sacramento Monarch and member of the Sacramento Kings broadcast team that many of you know very, very well, Kara Lawson. She was named the Washington Wizards play-by-play analyst yesterday. My Washington Wizards, and guess what I get to do when I get off work? I got to add League Pass back. Yeah. I had just taken League Pass off.
Oh, really? You were done with it?
Yes. No, because I felt I got to watch 82 Kings games.
Yeah.
I got Thursday night games, yeah. Wednesday night games, the fan voting game for NBA. I got enough. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need it. Now I got to add it back.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Adding it back so I can watch my Washington Wizards. She's going to join us today at 2:30. So, as I said, we are fully loaded. We left you on Wednesday with news of the NCAA scandal breaking. Louisville at the time, remember when we left you, Louisville at the time was suspected to be a part of it. I think they were referenced as like team number six or something like that.
Oh, they're
team
in
number,
it.
Yeah. Yet now we know who the team is. Mm-hmm. Now we know who coach number two is. Now we know all of this. And Rick Pitino is not officially out because of the language in his contract, but essentially he's been told now, I think in 9 days, he will be fired.
Yeah, he's gone.
And that's, I think, the biggest shoe to drop. It is to date, obviously, from this NCAA scandal. And again, when this story first broke, we were reading tweets from guys like Seth Davis who were saying this report, this thing from, remember, this isn't an NCAA investigation. This is an FBI investigation that turned up this NCAA scandal.
Oh, yeah. There's like wiretaps, surveillance. I mean, the undercover work.
This is like Watergate.
Yeah. This isn't just, hey, we think we've got something. We're going to knock out a scholarship here. We're talking about jail time.
Right.
I mean, this is big time.
I think I was thinking of this last night is how Watergate is like a perfect comparison to this. You were investigating a break-in at a hotel room.
Yeah.
And suddenly it turned up something entirely different. That's what the FBI was doing. They were investigating one thing, and they were led to the NCAA, which was – and then Adidas came up, and guess who got subpoenaed this morning? The old swoosh up there in Beavertown. Mm-hmm. They got some splaining to do as well.
Yeah.
So it's it is a rough go for the NCAA right here, and I wonder if Rick Pitino is the biggest shoe that is going to drop in this.
And what a surprise! I mean, just with the beautifully clean sheet of a record that he had in the past. Yeah,
you say, I mean, with the deepest right. amount of sarcasm in history.
I mean, and I wasn't even joking with you before the show. I said, do you think he'll coach again? And you said right away, no, not in college. But I'm like, I know, but how about the NBA? Because I do think he can do that. Now, will someone take that chance on him?
But
and maybe they don't need to. Maybe why? Why would you do it now?
I don't. So all scandals aren't created equal, mm-hmm. in my mind, right? we determined long before this that Rick Pitino is a bit of a slime ball.
Uh-huh.
Rick Pitino has the prostitute stripper thing now on his record, which is not in the too distant past, by the way. He has the extortion case in which he slept with his equipment manager. Let me rephrase that. He hooked up with his equipment manager's wife in a restroom at a restaurant.
Got it.
And he said under oath that the encounter lasted less than 15 seconds.
Wow. So John Wooden, be quick, but don't hurry?
Yeah, I guess so. Wow. I don't know.
My goodness, Coach.
You can send your comments to at JasonRoss1140, by the way, at JasonRoss1140.
Oh, thank you.
There's so much on Pitino's record.
Yeah.
And we had a feeling that there was enough there that led us to believe that Rick Pitino and that Louisville was a part of this. And the question that we posed was, could he survive this? Now we know that the answer is no, he couldn't. He can't survive this. He was going to, because the athletic director was told to fire him, and the athletic director said no, which is, by the way, what's gotten him out of getting fired in the past, because this isn't the first time firing Rick Pitino has come up at Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
But the athletic director has always had his back. This time they said, okay, you're not firing him. Yeah, you're gone too.
Yeah, and that's already happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because there's no language in his contract
right.
that says he needs a 10-day jump. He's gone. But in terms of coaching in the NFL, because I'll go back to the last guy I called a slime ball, which is why the NFL is on my mind, and that's Art Briles. His scandal at Baylor is entirely different. Art Briles does not deserve to coach in the NFL. And part of that has to do with the moral high ground that the NFL attempt to take on various stances and on various things in society. And it's like, okay, this guy oversaw a program that got one of his players killed. He attempted to cover it up. Y'all didn't say anything. The staggering number of sexual assaults that occurred from his players. I didn't say anything. Like, that's different than, yeah, we paid $100,000 to a kid we were trying to get here to Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're hearing it and we see it and we see the evidence of it. Are you surprised?
No, like, because we feel like goes on, right? Which is not to this level and the layers of it, which is, you know, offshooting into not only getting guys to the school, but then, hey, later on we'll take care of you because you'll be Adidas guy going forward. I mean, that, like, the layers of it as a professional, we'll get you here, but we need you here first. I didn't anticipate something like that, but it's kind of like you always say with baseball. Like, if it came out today, and I'll just throw guys' names out, not trying to say Judge, Stanton, whoever,
mm-hmm.
Bryce
yeah.
Harper.
Right.
Got caught?
Yep.
Yeah. You're like, okay, I believe it. I mean, not shocked. Kind of like, oh, basketball or recruiting and corruption,
mm-hmm.
fraud. Yeah. Sure, I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not to the level, but not shocking the story, but the FBI and all the details, that's a little bit alarming.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've been trying to figure out, does this change anything, right? Is this a moment where college basketball changes forever?
I don't see how.
Right. And that's, it's like, okay, we know how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
Right? But you still want to consume it. If you want to see how the sausage is made, you can go to YouTube and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the PETA website. They'll show you how it's done. But you still want to consume it. You may not want to see that part, but you still it's to a less serious degree. It's the NFL and CTE, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the or maybe not CTE, sorry. That might be a little bit unfair. It's the NFL and, like, concussions, right? And potential brain damage. We know these guys are big freak monsters who are running into each other head first
yeah.
in many cases. We don't want to know the aftermath. We don't want to know about the guy sitting in his truck, you know, chugging a bottle of Jack Daniels with a
yeah.
shotgun in his hand or whatever that scene in Concussion was
yeah.
depicted.
I want to watch Webster. The games and
right.
then give me some fantasy points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all we want to know. When you're a fan of Louisville or you're a student at Louisville, or you're a student at North Carolina or Duke or whatever it is, no, I just want to cheer my team. And Duke, I want you to beat North Carolina. North
yeah.
Carolina, I want you to beat Duke.
Yep.
Now, if you have to pay a kid if Jordan Brand has to pay a kid $100,000 to get him to North Carolina instead of Duke, you do it.
Just don't let me know about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know how we got that guy, but that's great that he's here.
And I still, this is not worse. Baylor didn't get the death penalty. I just want to reiterate that. What was Dickerson's school again?
SMU.
SMU. I was going to say CMU, but that's Brock. SMU, Southern Methodist, right?
Yeah.
They got the death penalty for cars and paying and doing all of that stuff you're told is just totally forbidden. Baylor didn't. Think of how many times Baylor came up. If you have an entire section of Deadspin devoted just to you, you're doing something terribly wrong.
That's true.
Buffalo Bills fans and Baylor, you guys are doing something wrong. And week after week after week, day after day after day, something was popping up regarding Baylor. They didn't get the death penalty. I don't even know if they've gotten punished, come to think about it.
Just Briles, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
Was that a safe face move? And it's like, hey, look, well, it's like one of those, well, we'll take ourselves out of postseason contention. Like Jim Boeheim at Syracuse. We're going to take ourselves out of postseason consideration. You have the worst team that you've had for the last 10 years.
But I want to let you know we're out.
Yeah, yeah. But we're
self-policing here.
Come on, man. Stop it. I'm starting to feel about the NCAA the way I do the state athletic commissions. And again, this isn't the NCAA. The NCAA didn't find this.
Oh, they were going to. Yeah.
They were going
to punish themselves?
Well, no.
They were going to uncover it to this level, right?
Right. That's what I was going to go. They didn't want to uncover this.
Yeah.
If they had come across something like this, be like, whoa, I'm just going to turn away here. I don't want to see this. No one wanted to uncover what Watergate really was, at least in Washington, D.C., with the exception of the reporters.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this was. The FBI was like, wait, we're not looking for this. We just stumbled upon this. How did we get here?
Yeah. And I don't know why it feels like it's basketball more so than football, because I'm sure it happens at some level in football. But that I would say the public perception is stuff like this happens all the time in NCAA hoops.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And maybe because a guy or two can make a big difference on a 12-person roster compared to, hey, I got two of the best recruits, wink, wink, somehow to our school. But, I don't know, you're fielding 50-plus, 60-plus, 80-plus guys in your roster. Yeah, how much is – I mean, it's going to help, but not the same as basketball can.
And that just goes back to the – you know what's going to change? They'll be careful. More careful. Yeah. They'll be more careful.
Yeah.
Whether it's AAU –
funnel it a different way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because the reason Louisville got caught is because they're bad at it.
Yeah.
The reason some other schools haven't got caught is because they're good at it. And that's the nature of the NCAA. The NCAA, you know, you hear this phrase a lot these days, particularly this week. Let's keep politics out of sports.
Mm-hmm.
The NCAA is one giant political landscape when it comes to teams. Now, not the Republican-Democrat style of political landscape, but in terms of AAU teams, relationships, shoe companies, agents, financial advisors, all of that stuff it's just one great big political landscape.
Yeah.
And if you don't think that a player who has a relationship with a certain AAU team that has a relationship with a certain shoe company isn't going to filter his player to a college that has a relationship with that same shoe company, you're crazy. It's all a political minefield in the NCAA.
Yep.
Now, I don't know where we go from here. I don't, you know what? Where we go from here doesn't matter because we're not going anywhere. Where does the NCAA go from here?
Right.
More importantly, where does this investigation go from here? Because are they done? Remember, this isn't what they wanted. This had nothing to do with the original FBI investigation. It just led them here. But now that they're here, they're looking around a little bit. That's why Nike is now involved. Nike had nothing to do with the original investigation. Well, they found Adidas, and it was, all right.
We have a guy from Nike here.
This guy used to work for, who do you think's diming out the swoosh?
Yeah.
That guy.
Right. Got to do some digging.
So what now?
Right.
Who's affiliated with Nike? Well, that other school in Kentucky is affiliated with Nike. All right. Who's affiliated with? Jordan's affiliated with Nike. Okay. Who are the Jordan brand schools? Well, there's Georgetown. There's North Carolina. North Carolina has a little bit of cloud over them. not like a thunderstorm, but like a little sprinkle. There have been some things over Roy Williams, nothing that, you know, warranted or has gotten him or that the NCAA really, really pushed, but there's been stuff. Well, if this little stuff turns out to be big stuff, the fallout could be significantly bigger and significantly more worse than with Patino. A couple of texts here on first text. Sorry I didn't throw this out earlier. If you want to jump in on the conversation, most of you know we'd love to hear from you. The text line 44-1140. If you want to get in on the phone lines, this first hour would be a great hour to do it. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Top text here, remember the movie Blue Chips. This is nothing new. Yeah,
exactly.
You're right. It's definitely not. It's not new. It's just the first time it is coming out explained in this way, with proof.
Yes.
What else do we got here? Patino will not be coaching anywhere. Don't forget his lovely run as coach of the New York Knicks. Celtics and Knicks, right?
Two Larry teams. Bird's not walking through that door.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That was his famous. That was his line, right? Yeah. Wow. Well, at least he gave us something.
Yeah.
He did give us something to hold on to. This is way worse for Patino than the time he. Yeah, it actually wasn't a waitress that he hit in the bathroom. It was his equipment manager's wife. But, yeah, whatever. Yeah, bad look for Rick Patino all over the place.
Quick Rick.
You are on a roll.
I don't know. I just.
Brian wants us to read this. Can we give a shout out to Hugh Hefner? Yeah.
Is it
Hef? He passed away.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he passed away last night, yesterday.
I didn't see that. Okay.
Yeah. I never met Hugh Hefner. I had one encounter with him. I didn't really meet him.
Where was this? Or when?
In Las Vegas.
Okay.
When we used to do, when I worked at KSFM, they used to send you to like the Radio Music Awards or the Grammy Awards, and you'd be in a big room with a bunch of other radio stations at a table with your broadcasting equipment, and people would go from spot to spot to spot to spot and do interviews. And he had like a reality show at the time, and I can't figure, like Hef's girlfriends or like
yeah,
loving Hef
like
or something like that. It was, I don't want to say it was super early in the era of reality TV, but sort of. And he wasn't doing interviews, the girls were. And they were every bit as dumb as you can imagine. And it was just the absolute worst 10 minutes of your life trying to, like, talk to these women. But he was kind of with them and would linger. And, you know, he had very large men walking around with him. But he was, you know, would friendly and nod. And he has this – it's the weirdest thing I can't figure out about Hugh Hefner. He has this – he has a very noticeable presence.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's just – the stigma surrounding him and him almost popularizing sexuality or making sexuality acceptable in the mainstream or whatever it is. But the second he walks in, you notice. And he wasn't dressed weird. He wasn't like walking around with a pipe in his mouth or nothing like that. But there's some girls next door. Why do you know that text line, by the way? Why do you know that by heart? That's exactly what it was. Thank you. And it's hard to explain, but he has some people have a presence when they walk in a room, you feel it. And you know that everybody else who is in the room with you feels it and they notice it. And no matter how big of a star they were, when Hef walked into that room, everybody noticed. And we had, he was a soap opera star. I can't remember his name. Shamon Moore.
Okay.
We had him at the table. We were talking to him. He's a very good-looking guy
yes,
who women love.
Mm-hmm.
He noticed and paused when Hugh Hefner walked in. And it's just one of those things where it gets everybody's attention. And that's the only experience I ever had with him. But I think he did things right. I mean, he was 91. It's not like we're talking about a life cut short.
Sure.
Like this guy
lived it to the fullest.
He did.
Yeah.
And that persona, he's almost like I feel like, with the exception of, like, killing bad guys, he's almost, like, when it comes to women, he's like a real-life James Bond.
That's true. Like, that's a good way to put it.
He's cool and totally chill, and, you can't imagine him ever getting mad, right? But he has an incredible presence, and he obviously will be a figure that is remembered for eternity.
Yeah, true.
Totally sidetracked. One of those girls was from Lodi. Really?
Huh. They watch closely.
You got
taking notes.
Man, I can't believe you guys remember this show. This is amazing. The Playboy girls had a show. Three of them were sharing. Hugh Hefner. That's right. That was it. It was called The Girls Next Door. Yeah. Okay. So we established that. That's funny. I love you guys. Greater American icon, Hugh Hefner or Vince McMahon? Hugh Hefner.
Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, wait. Yeah, Vince McMahon is still kind of looked at the sleazy slimeball promoter guy. We got to talk some NBA stuff here, J. Ross, including some stuff that just came across from Woj. Let's start with the Sacramento Kings. Sacramento Kings, couple extensions, a couple of title changes. So correct me if I'm wrong. This stuff came out yesterday while we weren't here. Vlade got an extension. Dave Yeager got an extension. All good stuff there because we're not used to that stuff happening in Sacramento.
Yeah, no, continuity, stability. That's what this organization needs, and I think that's acknowledging what Vlade has done, what Coach Yeager has done in a short amount of time, and what they want that partnership to be going forward.
And Peja got a title change. So Peja is going to the is his title Scott Perry's old title?
No, I don't think it's that. I think, well, maybe by title. I still think that belongs to to Williams.
Brandon Williams. Brandon Williams.
But Peja was kind of the GM of Reno, and that's not – I think he's going to be here more so.
Okay. But he's the vice president of something, right? Isn't that his title?
I think so, yeah.
We got a lot of vice presidents in the company.
Yeah, well, that's something the organization has always done. But it's just another guy in the front office for sure. I don't want to just mean like another – but he's going to be here all the time or with the team and around the team as opposed to having some connections to Reno.
Can we change Chris's title from producer to like vice president of the Lowdown?
Absolutely.
I feel like everybody should have a vice president.
I think we should have a vote on it. I say no.
Oh.
No, yes. I say yes.
Who gets the deciding vote if we're split 1-1?
Chris.
Oh.
That's more of a presidential vote though, isn't it?
Chris got the popular vote.
Yeah. That Electoral College, we'll have to go check in with KNCI and some of the other stations around if they agree that Chris should get a title promotion.
Mm-hmm.
But the extensions are really good news because you just don't want guys to get fired, man. I know that's the simplest way to put it. We're so used to guys. Now, not that they still can't, but there was kind of a feeling like, all right, we're really settled into this thing and we're going to let these guys run this organization and see what can happen over the course of the next few years.
Of course, we can debate the merits of what they've done, but when they elected to trade DeMarcus, that's when the vision was thrown out there. This is what they want to do as far as having a team that they're going to build with young players, add some veterans. Vlade did that via the draft and free agency. Now it's on Coach Yeager and the coaching staff to develop these players. So the path is laid out there. And I think to lay it out there, you're comfortable with Yeager doing. I think one of the things that was telling, even in the press conference yesterday, I guess Yeager brought up that in one of their first meetings, Vlade addressed, hey, we might make a change of course at some point while you're here. Would you be comfortable with that? And he said yes. And I thought, well, that was actually pretty good foresight. Because at the time, this was even before last season started when they hired Yeager. Of course, they're thinking, DeMarcus, we're building, we're going forward, we're trying for the 8 seed. This was even before all of that. And he said, you know, there's in this tenure, we might change course. Would you be accepting that? And they said yes.
I can't remember the last time we came on to talk about, I mean, I know our history together is short, but I can't remember the last time we came on to talk about someone signing an extension in the front office.
Yeah.
And I can't remember, you know, even outside of this show, whether I was just filling in or was just a fan, I can't remember the last time I read a press release that had an extension for a Sacramento Kings coach or front office member.
It's a good thing, I think.
It's a very good thing, which is the point I'm trying to accentuate here. It is a very good thing. And what's next?
Right.
You know, what's next?
Just build.
That's
build it.
Cavs had a bad day at training camp today. We'll explain why. Also, some news from Woj. The NBA has passed draft lottery reform. We will explain to you what that means when we get back here as we continue with the first hour of the Lowdown on Sports 1140. Time to get your UC Davis Aggies football tickets as they host North Dakota at Aggie Stadium this Saturday, 6 p.m. Go to UCDavisAggies.com. Coming up this hour, we'll have an opportunity for you to win NBA 2K18 from 2K Sports. Dave Douglas, producer of John Madden, A Football Life, is going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. Nate Lundy and Kara Lawson will be with us in the 2 o'clock hour. some draft reform is happening here, Jay Ross. This, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, the NBA passes draft lottery reform to help prevent teams from tanking. It will start in the 2019 NBA draft. So not next year, but the year after.
I want to see how it plays out. I'm not the biggest fan of this. I didn't have a better idea. So, I mean, I'm all for ideas. I don't know of another solution. I think some smart people have been working on this. So basically the way I read it, the bottom three teams will have the same opportunity to get the number one pick as far as percentages to win the lottery.
Okay. So that was kind of along the lines of what was reported a couple of weeks back when we talked about it. It would be, it's like almost three equal percentages for those teams.
And generally, there's usually a team that is an outlier, right? That's the worst team, whether it's the Nets, Cavs years ago, Kings 1 year had it. That's just the worst by far. Then maybe there's a couple other teams that kind of are flirting with that bottom spot. If the term is to prevent tanking, if that's what they're saying, I'd be careful with that phrasing, because let's put a team that's, I mean, you might have a scenario where a team is fourth, fifth, or sixth worst record, so they're near the bottom, but they're also equidistant from the eight spot, and that's a decision right there. Mm-hmm. Are we pushing to get to eight, or you know what? Let's lose five of our last seven. We'll be in the bottom three, and we have as best chance of whoever Team X is that was by far the worst team in the league. So it could open a door for more teams potentially to start doing it.
And that's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what, when I first thought, it's like you no longer have to get to the worst record in the league anymore.
But the bottom three you do.
You just need to get to the third worst.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go from there.
Right.
And I think you're absolutely right. When you get to that final point, when you're a 9 or a 10 or somewhere around there, and it's like, well, we're close. We can only control so much of our destiny. What are we better off doing?
Yeah.
Going up or down? And a lot of times that number, that worst spot is so far out of the way because you have teams like a, you know, Philadelphia when it was them.
Whoever it was.
Brooklyn,
that's winning like 15 games.
Right.
You're in the 20s. It's,
right.
Yeah.
Philadelphia won 9 one year, didn't they? Like a couple
Something
years
brutal.
Ago. And that was part of the process.
Yeah.
And so that's what this all boils down to, right? This lottery reform is about the process. It's about curting the thought of let's just, guys, just trust us.
Yeah.
We're not going to be good for a little bit. But, you know, in the end, we're going to have Joel Embiid, and if he's ever healthy, you're going to love him. And then we're going to sit Ben Simmons for an entire year, and when he plays, you're going to love him, when we're going to somehow stumble across a couple of more top draft picks, and you guys are going to love this team. You just got to trust us.
Yeah, I mean, this last draft is an interesting one because by all accounts it was supposed to be pretty strong and deep, and I think it is. But if there was a case where LeBron James was the player that was going to be the clear-cut number one, or I'm trying to think in recent memory other guys that were mentioned in that. I mean, LeBron's
Simmons was.
Yeah, Ben Simmons. Dwight Howard was actually kind of a big target.
That's
So Yao Ming even. So, in the last decade, 15 years, where that type of player is going to be the consensus number one. So let's rewind it and say it was last year. Teams like the Kings, the Suns, the Lakers, the Magic. Well, Brooklyn didn't have their pick, but Dallas. Yeah, what's the final 3 weeks look like where it's going, I don't know. Maybe it'll do us better if we cruise in at 2-8 in our final 10 as opposed to, try to win as many games as we can. And so I don't know. I just, when they phrase it that way to try to avoid tanking, I don't like that term, and I feel like it might have just opened the door for more of that.
And that's, the term tanking sucks.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking, well, you're going out there to lose on purpose.
Yeah.
And, we've had this conversation regarding the Kings. We had the conversation regarding a number of teams. We're having this conversation actually right now regarding the New York Jets. You're not going out there, and this is, they stumbled upon a win already. They're going to go 0-16.
What are you doing?
Already,
ruining a good plan.
Right. And and it's not, you're not throwing games. But as Mark Cuban said after the season was over, maybe you're not necessarily putting the best players out there. In the case of the New York Jets, maybe you're not even going after the best players that are available to you. You're going with your own process. You're going to go with the low payroll. You're going to go with what you have. You're going to march those guys out there and let them play.
Mm-hmm.
That's good or bad. And again, we're 3 weeks in. They've already got a win. There were teams who were saying, or there were people who were saying they're going to go 0-16. Hell, I thought the Colts were more likely to go 0-16 than the Jets were. Yeah. They both eked out wins. Now, Cleveland, it's on you. Are you going 0-16? San Francisco, are you going 0-16? But I don't think anyone is saying either of those teams are tanking because they're trying to put together a roster. Yeah. Cleveland is trying.
Yeah,
they're just bad at it.
Did you feel? I personally did not feel the Kings were doing that last year at the end. After they traded DeMarcus, when they're sitting Costa here, in Aflalo there, in Collison there, I honestly thought they were looking at other young players. Now, some could say they were tanking or at least protecting a position, but in the end, none of those guys aren't here anymore.
No, right. No, you're absolutely right, and I understand that line of thinking, and I would say
a version of it?
No. I would just say it's an effect of what they were doing.
Okay.
Because if you're putting out, you have no veteran on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a game late in the season where Vince doesn't play, Zach doesn't play, George Hill doesn't play, Garrett doesn't play, and you're looking like, all right, you're playing no one over the age of 20 today. Mm-hmm. You want to get a look at them. That's absolutely fine. And totally agree that that's what they did last year. Yeah. You have to get a look at these young guys. You have to decide what you're going to do. All of those guys that you named, you're right, none of them are back. But a cause of that or an effect of that may be, okay, we're not going to win very many games. It's like what we say this year. Yeah. We got great – Sacramento Kings have very, very good young players. And I personally believe Sacramento Kings are going to be a lot of fun to watch. I also personally believe they're not going to win a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not because they're tanking. It's not because they're not trying to put together a roster. It's like the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns are trying to put something together. They have a bunch of young – they're not there yet. The difference between those two examples and the New York Jets is it feels like the New York Jets aren't trying to put together a quality roster. For a while with the Philadelphia 76ers, they were not trying to put together a quality roster. To the best of my knowledge off the top of my head right now, I'm thinking this rule was created because of the Philadelphia 76ers and no one else.
Mm-hmm.
Not one other team. I can't – Minnesota?
No.
Sacramento?
No.
Brooklyn? No, they're not tanking. Hell, Brooklyn didn't even have picks.
They never get their picks. They go to Boston.
New York didn't even have a pick until 2 years ago.
Right.
They're not tanking. They just stink.
Right.
There's a difference between being bad and tanking.
So that's just that whole point there is, are they overreacting then to one scenario? Sometimes it's hard to prove that teams are doing that. I think there's a perception, though, and we've gotten that word in our vernacular now that we're, oh, they're tanking. They're tanking. It's just so easy to throw that out there on teams. Are they, or are they just not that good? And what's the cause of it? Again, what do we say every year? Oh, Kings are back in the lottery. Phoenix back in the lottery. I mean, so was tanking beneficial? If that's what you say teams did,
mm-hmm.
Here they are back in the lottery.
What about 14 teams who don't make the playoffs have equal odds in the lottery? That's from the text line at 44-1140. We'll try to address that. We'll talk a little bit of training camp, some news out of Cleveland. We'll keep it moving here. Last to get to with Sports 1140. I wonder what the rules for the lottery or tanking are in NBA 2K18.
Oh, that's probably in there, huh?
It's courtesy of 2K Sports. I don't know, but this game is pretty dated at this point.
It's in the game.
I hope they do I'm not good with video games, but don't they do downloadable updates?
Oh, okay.
So
put new people on new teams?
Yeah, they have frantically been trying to put together the new look Cleveland Cavaliers, Oklahoma City Thunder, all of that stuff. But we got NBA 2K18 for you, courtesy of 2K Sports, right now. Legendary teams play with the greatest players in NBA history from all 30 teams together on all-time franchise rosters for the first time ever. NBA 2K18 is the deepest and most authentic simulation sports game available. Get it now on PS4, PS3, Xbox One, Xbox 360, PC, and Nintendo Switch. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We will get you set up with that game, and I believe one of those legendary teams includes your Sacramento Kings and your favorite Sacramento King one, Douglas Dale
mm-hmm.
Christie. No word yet on the ranking of his uppercut in that game, but I'm sure if you win.
Number one.
You could, gotta be, yeah. Right? Gotta be.
For me.
I mean, I don't know. Larry Bird, Dr. J, it's close.
That's good.
That's, I mean, there's
star power.
There's close. I mean, I guess that was later in the year. That was in the playoffs, right? Is that in the playoffs?
I think it might have been, yeah.
So it has a little more. Whereas Doug, first preseason game in Las Vegas, just decided he was going to punch somebody.
Got after him.
Damn near got Albie Akani killed in the hallway by Shaquille O'Neal, but that's an entirely different story. Call now. We'll get you set up with that game. Jay Ross and I were going over the newest lottery reform rules, and bottom three teams, I guess, have an equal 14% chance of winning the lottery, and then it goes down incrementally from there, 12.5, 10, blah, 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 blah. And we just can't decide if this is a good thing or if this solves anything. Now, I'm not confident that it does. We actually both think it makes it worse.
Yeah, I think it has potential to make it worse. And as far as what the texter asks, but what about all 14 teams having the same chance? Mm-hmm. I don't like that.
Oh, I don't either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't either. Because you could have a 46-win team not make the playoffs.
And get the number one pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, just get
better. Hi, Boston. Welcome. Yeah. Hello.
They've done it creatively, at least via trades. But
they did it because of the incompetence of somebody else,
correct.
Not because of their own.
Yeah,
they took
advantage of somebody.
They just, Yeah.
But I don't know. Nobody seems to frown upon the way the NFL does it. Worst record gets first pick. Is it that too simple? No lottery? Just... Is it because there's too many players that maybe one football player picked with number one can't change the franchise? But if you get that franchise quarterback, I'd argue it would.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. But.
I love this. There's a number of texts here. I don't understand how this new policy prevents tanking. Because this came out after the show started, Jay Ross and I are literally trying to talk through this and figure out how this helps. Yeah. And I don't think that it does.
Just because they said it doesn't mean it does. You know, this is right. This was done to prevent tanking. I can see plenty of scenarios where this tanking will still occur.
No, yeah, didn't work for me, guys.
Yeah,
good effort though. They also there is this. I can't believe I'm, but there are some people, many probably within this building, who are going to do cartwheels over the new, and I quote, resting legislation. That is the time in the world that we are in where we have resting legislation. There's going to be standing legislation soon, but we'll get to that later. Later. Let me read this to you.
I'm ready for the cartwheels if it's worded perfectly.
Adam Silver will have the discretionary ability to fine teams for resting players in several instances, including sitting multiple players outside of unusual circumstances in a single game and healthy players in nationally televised ESPN, ABC, and TNT games. When teams decide to rest players in games, they'll be encouraged to do so for home instead of away games. Adam Silver listens to the lowdown. He specifically listens to Jason Ross, who suggested that. Star players sitting out are expected to be on the bench, that's new, during games and encouraged to be accessible to fans for interaction before the game.
That's Ken.
That's absurd.
That one's Ken's.
It is.
Yeah.
That was two-thirds of the lowdown there, because I was the one who was all, let him sit.
Yeah. And I don't know about that last one. I don't know how that one is implemented. The other one, he's really targeting national audience. Why? Is it because you guys got embarrassed as a league, as opposed to the one that bothered me more so than that was earlier in the year when the Cavs rested, I want to say, their big three at that time, which was Kevin Love, Kyrie, and LeBron in Memphis. Yeah, wasn't nationally televised. I'm like, that's Memphis's only time to see those guys and to see all of them. I mean, LeBron is going to rest. It's going to happen. It might happen here in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but can you – well, I don't know if Isaiah would be healthy, but the point being, can Love play? Can Isaiah play?
Yeah.
Can some version of what we expect the Cavs to be play? And I don't know. That's going to be a tricky one for Silver if some red flags are, and then are you real? What are you going to do? What's the penalty?
How do you prove it?
Yeah.
Like, how do you not say, LeBron's got a tummy ache?
Well, that part can happen, are you just randomly resting Kevin Love?
There's a flu bug going around.
Okay.
It happens. It's not
the
like we've never seen
it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then just to make it look a little bit more accurate, you know.
10th man gets it too?
Yes.
Sorry, 10th man.
Assistant coach gets it. Yeah. He's in the back. He's hugging the toilet.
So is the trainer. Just somebody. We got
right. See,
it's infecting the team.
It's, You got to sell it, man. You got to sell it. You got to be smarter. You got to be smarter than the NCAA.
Yeah.
You got to be smarter than Louisville if you're going to sell something. You got to really sell it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It would be tough to prove, but I think the parameters at least have been addressed. Now we'll see if the league, if the teams will push it.
So many people complained about it. I know I was kind of alone on an island where it didn't really bother me. I just remember between...
Plus, the schedule's better.
The schedule is better, and I guess... But there's always going to be, we can eke one more. Like, here, I mentioned this earlier, didn't say it. LeBron twisted his... They're not using the term twisted his ankle, so I'm trying to be careful. He aggravated his ankle today at practice, and now he's listed as day-to-day. Well, if you aggravate your ankle during a season, and you look at, okay, well, we got... we don't think you're well enough to play the Lakers on Thursday. We're going to be at the Kings Saturday, and we don't play again until, you know, when we're back home next Thursday. And it you look at that schedule and go, well, could we beat Sacramento without LeBron? Like, you might be ready to play after the LA game, but we can get you, you know, that one game rest actually amounts to, you know, an extra, you know, couple of days. You have like a week off instead of three days off, excuse me, or 4 days off or whatever. You have an entire week. I don't know. It's that's always kind of I know the schedule is better now, but I feel like there's always going to be a way to, yeah, but look at this. Look what we can do here.
Well, let's I'm going to use your scenario, which I could see it happening, and I'm going to put it into play for this year. The Warriors host the Cavs Christmas. We come to expect that. That's going to happen. Barring injury, LeBron's playing, right? He's playing on that game, Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
2 days later, they're here.
Mm-hmm.
The 27th. Okay. Just had an emotional, big Christmas game. And then after that, they play in Utah on Saturday. So the one's Monday, Kings are Wednesday, then Saturday. Could that be, LeBron, we're going to have you out against the Kings because you'll play Monday, and then you'll play Saturday. But now, again, my issue, I'd love to see LeBron. Just rest LeBron. But don't say Kevin Love, if Isaiah were healthy, you know, we're looking at four guys out. To me, all right, LeBron's resting that game. Yeah, he's an older player. It's a reality.
The answer to your question is yes.
Yeah, but that my thing always was just rest LeBron or just rest Kevin Love or just rest last year Kyrie, but not all three.
But then the thing that you have to factor in now is that D-Wade is there.
Right.
And D-Wade is old.
Yeah.
And D-Wade needs rest.
Yeah.
And the more D-Wade rests, the better he's going to be in May and June.
I agree.
And I think those scenarios are going to pop up quite often.
True.
I really don't feel like with either of these, draft reform or resting legislation, that there's ever going to be a clear.
Yeah.
There's always going to be people trying to skirt either, you know, both.
Well, the resting legislation is as open-ended and vague as, like, well, what rule did we break? Where is it in the fine print?
It's Goodell, right?
Yeah.
Now we're dangerously entering into Goodell territory in terms of punishments in the NFL.
True.
We'll come back. We're going football heavy in hour number one, including one small thought on the entire American Football Conference. And that includes your Oakland Raiders. That's hour number two of the Lowdown. Next.